Good evening, good morning, and good night.
Hey, I am Kirk M. Samuels.
And I am Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right. We're just real men having real conversations for you.
There's my finger point.
Right here on your home for healthy masculinity.
Yeah.
So
I just wanted to point out that I do that annoying thing just for all of our online.
Those are all for the little brothers and little sisters out there that didn't get annoyed enough by a big...
Because you can't go on Facebook and YouTube and you can see me annoying everybody with my little finger point because that's just what I do.
That's what we do. We're just here to annoy you.
That's my goal for the year.
Yeah. Speaking of annoying you, how's your New Year's resolution going?
Don't worry about my New Year's resolution, man. Mind your business.
Come on now. It's the New Year, man. Don't you got a plan?
I already canceled my gym membership.
What?
Leave me alone.
Okay, well, at least you're honest.
Actually, I did cancel it.
Did you?
I did.
What do you like, just sit-ups and push-ups at home, or are you just going to get fat?
No, I'm just deciding. I'm just going to let myself slide.
Just going to let yourself slide?
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope, man.
I'm married now, man. I'm going to let myself slide.
Oh, there it is. There it is. The truth comes out.
Hey, man, don't tell her I said that.
She's watching. She just heard you say that.
Keep it ripped. Keep it ripped. But goals, man.
Yeah, no, it's a new year. Everybody has their New Year's resolution, but most people don't make it. Past, I don't know, January, February. I mean, some of them are sticking 3 months, but then they fall off the wagon. Like, what's your plan? What's your goal? Should you have a plan and a goal? And wait, so when we talk about New Year's resolutions, it's a New Year's revolution. Mm. And when we talk about resolutions, it's usually fitness, health, quitting smoking and drinking. But what about business?
A lot of people say they want to start a new business.
They do.
Or they want to take their business to the next level and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people have business aspirations when it comes to the new year. It's a time to be optimistic. It's a time to restart and refresh. And I do. I know a lot of people that really want to refocus or focus or even start a new business.
Yeah, everybody wants to be their own boss. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Everybody wants to bring in their own money and do what they love. But most of us, and I'm going to speak for myself because I don't throw anybody else on the bus, a lot of us have attempted to start our own business multiple times and failed miserably because we didn't ask for help. We didn't get a professional's advice. We didn't get a coach. Mm-hmm. We didn't say, hey, who's somebody who actually has business experience, who actually is a coach, who actually could maybe make this a little easier for me and show me the way to go, show me the yellow brick road of business, as it were. Mm-hmm. And guess what?
What?
We brought her in the building.
Where?
Jessica Allier is in the building, business coach, entrepreneur for 20 years, and a wealth of knowledge. I might hire her to help me actually succeed in business one of these days because, you know, I need help.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for shuffling our screen around here as we stream it.
We got to put her in the middle because we got to separate this ugliness with a little bit of prettiness because, Lord have mercy.
It's like an ugly Oreo. Like the two uglies on the outside and the not ugly on the inside.
Well, thank you for coming, Jessica, and welcome to the show. We would like to ask you about what you do, how you get into business, and how can you help people in the new year with their business? Because I know you know so much.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
What a great intro. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So who are you, and what do you do, and why are you here?
Which one do you want me to tackle first?
Who are you? First question first. Who are you?
Who am I? Well, I am just obsessed about business and marketing, and I just love the challenge of entrepreneurship. I think entrepreneurship is one of the best ways to heighten anyone's life. So I like to help people who have a passion, something that they really want to do, put their time, energy, money into. And when they're ready to take it to a professional mode, I'm there to help them put that system in place, so that they can continue to grow their passion and have it more sustainable with money. So basically, making money, loving what you're doing. So
that's awesome. Everybody wants to make money and love what they're doing to make money.
Yeah, what kind of businesses? Any?
So I specialize in a few market segments. So I really love creative people who want to add business structure. I have a soft spot for people who are starting their first business. And part of that is because I thought I was going to be a rock star one day. So I
like literally a rock star?
Yeah, like I really wanted to be a rock star.
Tight leather pants, kind of rock star, big
Absolutely.
Hair.
Absolutely.
Big hair, tight leather pants.
Wow.
Pull that microphone closer to you, rock star.
Yeah. My bad. So can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you.
Oh,
go
wonderful.
Ahead and pull it in. Make love to that microphone.
Yeah.
You said you knew what you were doing.
My late talk show host voice.
Boom. There it is. It works though.
So
works
a lot of people, I mean, would you agree that there's kind of a thing this time of year of a lot of people really focusing, refocusing, and or starting new businesses?
Absolutely. This is usually the time when people start thinking, you know, I hate my crappy job. I don't really want to do this anymore, mm-hmm. especially in the winter, right? Mm-hmm. We're being forced to work when it's really cold out, mm-hmm. which we can all relate to today.
Yes.
And they start thinking, well, what would I rather be doing? Mm-hmm. And what usually ends up happening is they will start for the first 2 weeks of the year, mm-hmm. something new, you know, and then the novelty will wear off and they don't want to do it anymore because they run into challenges. And there's lots of reasons why we fall off the wagon. But my job, at least what I strive to do, is to help people get over that hump of the 2 weeks, notorious that everyone just falls off and gives up. And I help people to not only understand how to motivate themselves, but that's the thing, to remain consistent throughout the year and to actually reach all of their goals that they wanted to accomplish for that year, and then create a more long-term plan so that every year not only are they knocking out everything, but it's part of the bigger picture.
Now, do you think most people fail because, especially in the new year, when they try to start new things, they overdo it? They don't have a incremental plan that's actually doable? Like, what are the things that maybe people, why they end up failing? Is just because they don't have a plan, or maybe they just, because I know in my experience, I did this like 10 years of working a job, saving a little bit of money, and it was always way too less, far less than I really needed. And then I would quit my job and go into business, quote unquote. And then within 3 months, usually if I was lucky, then I was quitting my business and going back to my day job because I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a step-by-step kind of guide and didn't know what I was really doing.
There are many reasons, but to your point, people give up partly because they don't have a system. There's usually lots of knowledge that they need to understand going into a business, and that's very difficult to both use your strengths, but also minimizing your weaknesses.
Right.
And so there's lots of gaps in that process because as employees, you know, we're focused on one department of a business, not usually everything. And so you have a lot to juggle.
Yeah. You got to be everything to everything.
Very overwhelming. But to answer your question very simply, people are trying to jump too many levels of the game too quickly. And part of that is just human nature. We like just having the answers given to us,
right,
and cutting shortcuts.
Yeah.
But in reality, we need to understand the entire machine, especially as a CEO or a business owner when you're starting a business from scratch, because you're going to have to play a lot of roles as you're growing. And like I said, it's very difficult to juggle all of those. And so what usually happens is, you know, it's you're spread too thin, you get too overwhelmed, and then all of that, plus all the mental inner talk telling you, you and probably the people that you're around who aren't used to that mentality of entrepreneurship, yep, are all telling you it's not going to work. Just give up. Why are you trying so hard? Why are you so obsessed? And so not only are you going against your own self-talk, but the people all around you. And so it's really easy to fall into the trap of, oh, crap, this might not work.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to be embarrassed. I can tell you, I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years now, and I got started really young. And I think the programming wasn't there yet. And I was a kid. I wasn't really out to start a business. I was just having fun in the beginning. So I didn't care. And I'm an introvert, so I really don't care what other people think. And that just never really went away. However, when I did go more into corporate America and I was working in that environment, a little bit of it seeped in. So at least I can relate to a lot of my students and clients. So when that starts creeping in, they borrow my belief temporarily, and I end up being a coach. And that's where my masculine energy comes into, where it's like, you need to get this stuff done. Yeah. Like, there really are no excuses. Let's actually make a plan.
Yeah.
And make it happen.
I've heard all those things in my head. I've heard all those, you know, kind of doubtful comments out there from well-meaning friends and family, things like that. And a lot of times I think it was well-deserved because I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just kind of throwing stuff against the wall to see if anything stuck, and not having, you know, not taking it seriously and just being like, okay, this is a business. I need to take it seriously and then learn things, because you learn a lot by failing forward in business. But I think having somebody who's already there who can walk you through it. And to your point, to borrow your confidence, to borrow your wealth of knowledge and to go, no, this is just like you've been down the path several times. So you can say, oh, no, watch out for that root. Watch out for that rock. Watch out for that pitfall. Don't step over the edge of the canyon. Like, these are the pitfalls I can save you time from dealing with when it comes to doing business, because I know I learned quite a bit through my several attempts at, failed businesses. But what I really learned was I need help. And that's why I was like, okay, let's bring in an expert. So all these other entrepreneurs out there and want to be entrepreneurs in the new year who are like, hey, I'm tired of working for the man. I want to go do my own thing. And they're just going to jump out in the deep end like I probably did and come up, with their waders on and little floaties and, dog paddling for water, just trying to get some air. Find somebody, a lifeguard or coach, somebody that can actually help you navigate that path.
I heard it once said that, everybody wants to be a lion until you got to do what lions do.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of things can sound great. They can sound sexy. Being boss, whatever, being this and being that. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm this and that and all that kind of stuff. But, when you got to actually get back there and make donuts, when you got to get back there and do what it is that you got to do, that's what it is. And so, but part of that being a lion is learning how to hunt. And, even grown-up lions, adult lions, have to teach younger lions, newer lions, how to hunt, how to do what it is they do. And so, needing some kind of mentorship, some kind of guidance, some kind of somebody to walk alongside, somebody to encourage you, somebody to do all those kinds of things is just, maybe a more mature lion teaching a less mature lion in terms of experience in business. Teaching that person how to do all of the things that they do, because otherwise, absolutely, you can get stuck. You can get stuck like Chuck, just trying to, figure out the stuff that somebody's already done that. If somebody's already been down that path, then why would you try to recreate the wheel? Why not just lean on somebody else to help you get to where it is you want to get to? And so, I think those things are key elements.
Yes, I mean, we talk to guys all the time about, don't be the Lone Ranger, get off of the American dream of the Lone Ranger and John Wayne and sucking it up, doing it all yourself. Like, save yourself some time. If you were smart, you would go find somebody who's already done it, knows what's going on, that can guide you. I mean, if you play sports, you had a coach. Why would business be any different? You need a coach to help you, to point out all the pitfalls and to help make your life a little bit easier. And maybe, just maybe, make you a little more successful.
Hey, if we were smart.
If we were smart, we would take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC. Boom.
Oh, yeah. So we take 10 seconds of silence or so they can hear it in there for when they do the editing. And it's hard, but look at us on the screen and talk to us on the screen there so that you're not.
Oh, yeah. No, I figured that out. I was like, I got to stop looking at you guys.
Why are they not looking at me?
there's people having having some emotional fallout, and they're like, she's not looking at me.
At least on the screen, it's oriented where he's to your right and I'm to your left.
Yeah.
So
I finally figured out I was doing that, and I was like, yeah, I got to stop doing that.
It happens. Everybody does it. It was my fault. I didn't coach you properly.
Speaking of coaching. All right, boom.
Ready? I don't think people will care.
Yes, we are back.
We're back.
It is the Mad Men Show.
That's right. We on KLDC.
1220 AM.
In the Mile High City.
And on the interwebs.
Everywhere. Facebook, YouTube, MadMenRadio.com, all that kind of stuff. Shout out to our sponsors out there, folks that help, partner with us and take us to the next level, people that want to join in, because when the tide comes in, all boats rise.
Yeah, shout out to Pro Auto, Castle Rock Men's Health, Barry Overton, and all of you soon to be sponsors and partners in the Mad Men Mafia.
That's right. Talking about goals, you're talking about like people that start business, all that kind of good stuff.
Talking about business goals, we brought in the ringer.
That's right.
We brought in Miss Wolf. She's in here to clean it up for you.
Miss Wolf. Miss Lion.
Yeah, have you ever been called a mature lion before?
I tried to word that. Usually they call you a cougar.
I was going to say, usually they just say cougar, but
that's totally different.
I think she's still too young to be a cougar,
though. Yeah, probably. That's a whole nother show.
Whole nother show.
We'll invite you back in 5 or 10 years, and you can go from lion to Cougar. Earlier, you mentioned something about, you said it really, really quick. You said 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Is there like normally a time frame where people just kind of give up?
2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was my dating life. I didn't know.
2 weeks. Oh, sorry. 2 months. I mean, it starts falling off quite quickly after 2 weeks. Most of that is because neurologically, we get bored. We get bored after 2 weeks, and we start having shiny object syndrome. Mm-hmm. And we start looking for a, quote, new solution to the problem when we didn't give the original solution enough time to actually work.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like some relationship issues, too.
Everything comes back to broken relationships.
Broken relationships on this show.
That's right. That's why you don't like online dating.
That's definitely one reason.
And honestly, that's the reason why. Like, you'll start noticing as you start learning about entrepreneurship that so many of your habits and your issues personally are what affect your business.
What do you mean?
So, isn't that
the old saying, like, how you do one thing is how you do everything?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, if you give up easily, or, you know, the novelty wears off and you're used to just finding another solution, you're never actually in the habit of completing any of your goals. You're constantly trying to find new solutions, and you don't realize that it's actually your human nature to do so. If you don't understand those things, that seeps into other areas of your life, like you said, like dating or your money or even friendships. And so, yeah, to Jason's point, the way you do one thing is how you do everything.
So that's your problem, JBK.
Okay, it's my problem. Just put it on me. Okay, I see how it is. It's all my fault.
It sounds like you're describing consistency.
Yeah.
And perseverance.
Well, and yes. I think what a lot of people will probably to your point, why they fail because that's their habit is they don't have a plan and they don't know what to expect, especially when they go into a blind. And so when you go, here's my plan, here's how long I have to, like, if you're planting a garden, if you're planting crops, and you know the gestation period is 3 months, then you know not to dig them up after 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have a plan and you don't know how long it takes for something to happen, then you're most likely to go, squirrel, yeah, shiny object syndrome, let's go over here and try this thing.
Well, what really breaks my heart is that people think it's because they're incompetent or that, you know, they're broken in some way. Everyone else is
having an
easier way of reaching their goals and they are struggling so much. But in reality, it's human nature. If they understood themselves better as a biological animal, they would actually have, I don't know if I'd say an easier time, but at least they wouldn't be so hard on themselves.
Yeah, nowadays, everybody wants instant gratification.
Yeah, magic pill.
Everybody wants to start the lottery, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm making six figures. And, you know, and it's like, it doesn't work that way. You know, they say it takes, what, 10, 15 years to be an overnight sensation? And so, you know, but yeah, we want instant gratification. We want everything to be now. You know, we want it all, but we want it all right now, and it just doesn't work that way.
Well, yes, and to your point, so a lot of the people who are like in my program or do coaching, typically they start a side hustle as part of their 9-to-5 job, and they're trying to make that transition from the regular job into something that they enjoy, or at least that they've chosen to do for work. And like I said in the beginning, they're trying to jump too many levels too quickly. And so they're expecting to be, you know, full-time, making tons of cash at the end of the year, in their first year. My first business, which I started at 15 years old with a co-founder, and we scaled it for 5 years. I sold it when I was 21. That first year was the worst entrepreneurial year of my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a teenager, and I didn't have kids, thank God. But... like, I was up until 2 a.m. and still going to high school. A lot of people didn't know that I was actually 51% business owner of that company. But I mean, between me and my co-founder, you know, it was him and I that first year doing everything. And I was learning just about every hat to wear in that business. It was not easy. In fact, as a kid, I didn't realize that my co-founder, there's a very rare amount of people who aren't 24-hour, like, on a schedule. They're on a 36-hour with their body. So this man, I've never seen anyone outwork this man. He's just go, go, go. And he had a lot of health issues. So for him to keep moving, it actually helped with his pain management. But as a teenager, I was trying to keep up with him. And I didn't realize that that wasn't normal. I was just trying to do a good job. And when I ended up selling that company, starting another one, and like going into corporate America in some ways, I was outworking everybody. I was, you know, not losing the strength of going in and being consistent and like making decisions. I didn't have as much decision fatigue as other people. And so I was reaching and going past quotas. I was, you know, getting things done, and I was getting promoted extremely quickly. Like, I was knocking things out. But on the other side of this, my entrepreneurial mindset was clashing with corporate America, and my upper management and, you know, the decision makers, I basically was talking the talk and doing the walk, but I looked half their age. Mm-hmm. So I, in the first couple of years, I was like, what is going on here? Why am I getting so much backlash? Like, what, why can't I get along with some of these executives? And one of the girls at one point, I was like, why are they treating me so differently? And she's like, oh, it's because you're a girl. And at first I was like,
it's corporate politics, man. You're not kissing the ring or bowing down to the guys that have been there and paid their dues. You're just coming in there doing the work and making it happen, and they don't like it.
I considered it. I was like, is this what sexism is? And then I was like, no, I think it's because I'm just outperforming everyone.
I don't think it's a bad thing to have to work your 5 to 9 until it becomes your 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's a bad thing to have, you know, a 9 to 5 and then a 5 to 9. And then build that and work on that, and to have something that has been your, I'm going to say, stability, maybe financial and professional stability, and then build up something else in addition to that. And then ideally able to at some point transition full time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think the whole idea of, well, I'm going to start something and I'm going to quit my job and jump over to that, that's probably not best for most people.
Let me tell you what, it doesn't work out that well.
Yeah, it doesn't work
I've
out that well.
I've done it several times, yeah. And, you know, insanity
I
is,
don't
you
recommend
know.
Not having a plan and just quitting and going into it. But
you
the
can learn
smartest
a lot.
Thing
just
to do is make a plan, set aside money, learn how to be a responsible business owner, take the leap, they call it the leap, into your business full-time when it makes sense. Yeah. When, like, if this really is your dream, why wouldn't you want to give yourself the best possible chance to be successful? Yeah. So, but that requires letting go of some of your ego. And that's what a lot of people who are trying to make that switch, they have a hard time with, because they're so afraid of what other people will think. So instead of telling everyone about their business, they'll lie about it, or, you know, they won't broadcast it to everyone. They're afraid of taking the leap. So my thought, and this is how I help them get over it, is I tell them, think of your 9 to 5 job as they're your investor, right? They're investing on you making this switch. They're not aware of it usually.
Your silent partner.
But they are your investor. And when you think of it that way, then, you know, yes, it sucks and you have to go to your 9 to 5 and you have to do what you have to do, but it's a stepping stone towards the next level. And there's certain hoops that every entrepreneur has to jump through, and that's one of them.
Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, you, welcome to our 5 to 9. We are still doing our 5 to 9, and we are taking the time to make it work and getting better all the time. But also, it's good to have a partner. I know in my past experience, like you were talking about, you started your first business with, you know, at 15 with another partner, you know. I think that's probably as big of it. I mean, of course, granted, you're a freak of nature and you just have that brain that understands and loves business more than probably anything else. But having a partner really helps, because I know in all my past, you know, forays into starting my own business, is always just me by myself. And when all those voices come up, when you don't have somebody to hold you accountable or somebody that you're thinking about, like, I need to do this because they're expecting me to, those things can kind of fall away because you're not working. You don't have that accountability buddy. You don't have that person that even if they don't say it, you can hold yourself accountable because you know they have expectations. They know, like, you need to be doing these things because this is our thing. And so I think, especially if you're starting a new business, you know, or your first time, you know, finding somebody you can partner with. And if you can't, if it's a solo business, get a coach. Have somebody like Jessica to coach you, and they can be your accountability buddy and keep you on track. Because when it's just you by yourself, and I'm speaking from experience, people, it's really hard to kill those demons in your head when they tell you all the negative things about what you're trying to do and why you're going to fail, when you don't have somebody to talk to boost you up and give you that confidence.
Yeah, they say if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go with others. And yeah, I completely agree with that, because there's some days where you just don't feel like it. And so you either have to be you know, disciplined enough to do it in spite of not feeling like it, and or have somebody else that's, you know, that's in it with you, that, you know, both of you can be two rails of the railroad track and be able to move this.
Yeah, because not everybody's David Goggins. Not all of y'all can do it on your own forever and run
most
to the moon.
Most people are not. I mean, yeah. By far most people are not. I mean, you're talking the top tippy, you know, a few percent of population that can just do that.
Well, here's a really good way to coach yourself to get out of that frame of mind when, you, like you said, if it starts feeling overwhelming and you feel like quitting. Tracking your progress, this is why it's so important to track it, because when you feel like giving up, you then can look back, well, what assets have I created? What have I done so far? Because usually, if anything, you've learned lessons, right? But if you remind yourself how much progress you've made, it's really easier to get back into the excited frame of mind of, well, this was fun. If it starts losing the fun aspect of it, that's when you really want to give up, really. But if you're keeping it fun, and so there's ways to gamify it, there's ways to stay inspired, ways of reminding yourself like why you're doing what you're doing, which is really important. And that's what I wish I could tell a lot of my clients in the beginning. If you don't have an emotional reason pushing you through the challenges, you're going to give up. And so you don't necessarily need to be passionate about your business per se, in the sense, like, if you have great skill or talent in something, or if you just have a really great idea, but if it's not fun for you, why bother? Like, you're expending energy, money, and effort. Like, why? Yeah, and so you need to feel like there's a bigger purpose.
Well, the bigger purpose for us right now is to take a break.
Boom. So I'm down with that.
We're going to take a break. Yeah. Mad Men and Masculinity, right here on KLDC with Jessica Allier. We'll be right back. Yeah, you definitely need a coach to tell you what are assets.
Yeah.
So you know when you're making progress, because when you don't know what you don't know, you don't realize all these things you're learning and all this experience you're getting are actually assets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're just like, oh, I'm just failing. I've made no money.
Yeah. But the lesson, I mean, is a benefit in itself. Yeah. Just the learning of it is a benefit. You win just by learning. And sometimes you're paying tuition, you know, in the learning process. That's pretty much what
blood
it
and skin
to.
And tears yeah, tuition.
There's a cost to all that.
It's when people feel like they've made no progress or they can't see it, but it's because they forget it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they get so focused on scaling and making a profit that they're not realizing that they're taking the steps, you know, planting the seeds, watering the garden, weeding the garden, digging all those steps.
It's if when you're working long term, you kind of have the mentality of, oh, I have to go through the trenches first.
Right.
This is part of the trenches. So then you don't feel as bad when you're like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of suck. You ready to come back?
Yeah. We're back.
Yes, we are.
We are back.
Right here in Denver, Colorado.
With the Mad Men and Masculine, home of the NBA champion Denver Nuggets in the NBA.
Don't say it. They carry bats, man.
NBA, MLB chumps.
They carry bats, man. They run faster than you do.
And there's some big dudes, man. Baseball players are big, man. I should stop talking about them.
Yeah, they're going to show up one day.
I want them to do good because I like going to watch baseball games.
Oh, I see how it is.
They just, you know, man, always at the bottom.
You should kinda,
they should need. They need a business coach.
They do.
They need a business.
They need
coach.
A performance.
That's what they
coach.
Do. They need a business performance coach. One of the things that we left off at, I think, is a nugget of wisdom.
Golden nuggets
is having a why.
Yes.
Having a why as to why it is you're doing this, why it is you wake up every day. What, you know, what's that? If your why is only to make a dollar, I don't believe that that's probably enough for most people.
It's not going to get you through the trenches.
You got to have a bigger why, a purpose to what it is that you're doing to help motivate you in the times when it's tough, to motivate you when you're in the desert, out in the wilderness, and all those kinds of things to push you and to pull you through the tough times. I think you got to have a why. Otherwise, man, it's more difficult to have legs if you don't have a why.
So, Jessica, why do you do it?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Jeez.
I'm sorry. Why do you do business? Sorry, we'll leave the other stuff for later. Jeez.
Well, I mean, my personal why, I have lots of different reasons, but honestly, what actually keeps me very driven is my father was actually very artistic. He was really good at watercolor and woodworking. And he actually got laid off from his job from an injury. And even though he got like a pension and, you know, some income from that, he really wanted to express himself artistically and make money doing it. And so I remember just seeing my father in the garage, just, you know, trying new things, working, being really focused. And I feel like he gave up too easily. Mind you, had a family and everything, but I watched my father like work on this so hard, and I guess a part of me was like, well, why does he feel like it was a failure? You know, what could he have done? And so as I continued to get older, and of course I went to business school and like other things in my life, but when I work with a business person, I don't see them sometimes. I see my father trying and how much it affected the family and how much like I wish he hadn't given up, or I wish he would have kept, you know, looking for solutions. And so when I sit down with someone, it becomes personal, where I see someone with so much potential and they're so frustrated because it's not working out the way they want it to. I want to help that person. So I wanted to help people, you know, really get a good grasp on the vision of their dream and then actually help them execute it and learn all the mindsets that go into play that either hang you up or help you. And so it became a personal why for me. So I can't help when somebody's really trying. I feel awful for abandoning them. And that's what a lot of, in my opinion, businesses or services do when they don't have answers or when something's not working, they will give up on their customers. Yeah. And so one of my strongest points is I don't like giving up on anybody who is truly trying to reach the next level.
And you brought up something that I think nowadays is probably not as big a thing, but it used to be like you had to go to business school, you had to get a degree, get your MBA, et cetera, et cetera. But it seems like nowadays there's so many online schools, there's so many coaches, there's so many books out there on business. Do you think people still need to like go get their degree and go get the MBA, or can they actually start a business without that?
That is an excellent question. I really love that you asked that. So, well, I've done it both ways. I did it backwards. I started a business really young, right? And then I actually did go to business school. I went to, I have an entertainment business degree, which at the time I wasn't quite sure how that was going to be relevant. Like I said, I wanted to be a rock star. I figured smashing two passions together, how could I go wrong? Right. I graduated and I actually learned how the entertainment world worked. And I was like, I don't know if I really want to be a part of that. And so I didn't really know what to do with it. But then as the internet became very popular, now it seems very relevant.
Right.
And so I think getting the most experience the fastest, starting a business, like actually doing business, is how you're going to learn the fastest. Right. However, going to business school taught me on another level of like diverse topics that I probably would have never studied otherwise. And so it actually made me highly competitive for both my clients and actually going into companies, because I understood on a much more broader term of business of how things worked. So could I have done it without school? Yes, probably a lot less expensive.
Imagine.
I could have read it from books. I could have had mentors. A lot of those things I actually learned just from being an entrepreneur, because I can't expect someone else to bring me my success. I have to go after it on my own. However, college taught me if you really plan ahead, if you're really precise, if you research, if you do your due diligence, they really gave me more structure as an entrepreneur. And so what was really interesting is because I went into business school as a creative, right? I played guitar. I sang. I was an artist. Like, I was very creative. I had a very strong right side of my hemisphere of my brain. When I went to business school about halfway through, I literally could feel it changing the way I thought, the way that I made decisions, the way that I approached things. I don't want to say it was bad. It wasn't. It was just giving me a stronger left brain, if you will.
So I told you school was mind control.
But it was funny because when I graduated and I, you know, went back into a job and everything, I then realized that most people have a hard time flipping between their left and right brain and being able to approach problems from both of those energies. And it was easier for me, I think, because I started as an entrepreneur. And that's why I was clashing with some people in that sense, because it's hard for people. They get used to making decisions from like one side or the other, and they kind of get stuck and rigid in that way of thinking. But to me, I was pulling from so many different, like from art, from music, from business school. Like I was pulling from all these different ways of thinking that I was able to get to the answer faster.
That's awesome. So when it comes to coaching business, when you're doing your programs, because you have like a program coming out soon, right?
Yeah, it is still in beta mode. But yeah, I just launched a program that helps entrepreneurs balance their life while building a business.
Can you give us some nuggets of like what you teach in that? Like what do entrepreneurs need to know? Like what would be some of the things that for somebody who's kind of thinking about getting a coach or you know, starting a school or workshop, something like that, what would be some of the things that they would gain from like what you're offering that would help ease them into and create a more successful business?
Sure. Yeah. There's four pillars of my program. The first one is we cover like purpose, vision, beliefs, mindset, more of the abstract thinking. That's where we talk about human nature and psychology. And so even if someone's not trying to build a business, maybe they just want to be more productive or they want to be more goal-oriented, that first pillar is massive. Because employees, the way that we're programmed is to first think about the details and the step-by-step systems, because that's, as an employee, we go into a company and that's what we're expected to do. An entrepreneur thinks the other way around. They think purpose, vision, and beliefs first. So when you have a business, it makes sense. If you're the CEO, you have to keep the team motivated. You have to keep them focused on the goal. You have to, of course, provide structure and guidelines. But really what you're doing all day leading a team is you are leading. So it's more so the purpose. It's the why. And when a business owner starts a company for the first time, they need to be really focused on why am I doing this? And that's why we started with that first pillar. Because depending on the goal determines the approach to achieve the goal. So there's many ways to actually get to the goal, but depending on like what that is, and most people don't define what the target is, so it's hard to reach the targets. Yeah,
I can see that.
What other things are kind of pillars in your program?
So our second pillar is we then tackle these six components of every business. So again, we have I have a lot of students that come in that are starting different types of businesses. And they all need to learn sales. They all need to learn marketing. They all need to learn legal, operations. So, and there's more. I just can't remember them off the top of my head right now. But there's the six components of every business. And so we then start teaching them that. But we structured it in a way so it's like tackle your beliefs and vision first, right? Know what the goal or the target is. And then the details start falling in place when you get the technical knowledge. So the second pillar is technical knowledge. It's basically all the things you're going to be coming across in a business. Now, let's say you have capital. You're not starting from scratch. And you're able to outsource those things, which, by the way, unless you're a corporation and you have like extreme capital, you're going to be outsourcing most of those things. So it's important to have a foundational understanding of each component so that you're not being taken advantage of and people are stealing your money. Which will happen, especially in that sales and marketing category. If you don't have an understanding of those components, you're going to be hiring people who make a lot of promises but don't deliver. And then you won't know what to do. You're going to think it's your fault. And it's not necessarily your fault in that sense. It's your fault for not understanding the foundation.
There's a lot of people that make a lot of promises.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and they want that check up front. And you don't get a lot of the promises carried through. There's a lot of folks like that.
I've heard so many horror stories about contractors and things. Oh, pay me up front. I need it for supplies. Yeah. And then where'd they go?
Yeah.
I got a hole in my wall. My toilet's gone, but they don't come back.
Yeah. No. You got a lot of folks, you know, I'll get you. You want to be a speaker? I'll get you in front of, you know. Arenas full of people and all that kind of stuff, and it's like, yeah, really. So yeah, there's a lot of that out there.
It's like all those publishing companies now. Not all of them are bad, but a lot of them are just like, here, give us $5,000, and then it's still all up to you. Right. Have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and for that matter, you know, writing a book. Yeah, even if you got picked up by a publishing company, like a legit publishing company, there's still an expectation on their part for you to go out and sell your book.
Yep.
I mean, it's not you're going to sign it. Unless you're already famous, writing your first book probably is not going to make you famous.
I don't know.
And so I say that to people all the time who want to be authors and that kind of stuff. It's great to have that, you know, on your resume and to have that, you know, as a platform. You know, but don't write a book expecting all of a sudden you're going to be on Oprah.
Yeah, no,
out of the gate, like your first book.
Your first couple of books are just big business cards.
Right, pretty much. And so, you know, but there are a lot of people that say, oh, you know, you come with me, I'm going to get you to publish a book for you. This is an example. And man, you know, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. You know, having a book that has a tag of a bestseller doesn't even make you rich. So there's a lot of those things that you can learn, a lot of those things that you can pick up, and a lot of those things that are important to know. Again, all of this goes back to having people in your corner, having people in your locker room, having somebody that you can glean information from, somebody that can help you learn how to hunt like a lion.
Yeah, have somebody who will help you check your ego so that you will ask them for help and listen.
Yeah.
Speaking of listening, what's pillar number three?
Oh, okay. So pillar number three. So the third pillar is going to be like templates and things, like you said, not reinventing the wheel. So in the program, there's, you know, accounting templates and project management templates, basically trying to save you time, creating your business and putting things into place that at least you can start from a template. Right. That's so helpful just with guidance. If you've never done it before, you know, how do you know? So as you go through the program, as we cover, like I said, those components of every business, you get templates and things that are going to help you, checklist, things that are going to help you save some time and lower the learning curve.
I like that. So as our template here on this show, we're going to take a break.
We'll be right back with her fourth pillar in our fourth segment, Mad Men and Masculinity, KLDC.
Did not know I was going to be going through my pillars today.
Yeah. Didn't see, I tell you, that's why we keep it free form. You never know what's going to happen.
That's true. Oh, I can talk about anything.
Yeah. But it's nice because, you know, I'm like taking mental notes. I'm sure other people are going to be listening to this going, oh, I need that program because
it's like breaking it down. Like, I didn't even know what I didn't know. Like, I didn't know I needed to have a why first and a vision first and then do the technical stuff. And because I think probably a lot of folks, especially...
Do
it backwards.
You know how much of a nerd I am? And we're not going to talk about this, but I literally spent 3 months researching on the internet for, like, what are all the overlapping things that every business needs?
Hmm.
And I outlined it to this huge outline that, like, so these are the topics that we need to talk about. It's this huge outline.
Nice. See, that's the research part. That's the nerd part.
Then I tried to trim the fat. So if, like, you know, things were kind of the same, I would take them out. And then I basically started creating, like, okay, now that these are the main components, what are the main components of these topics? And I just kept going.
Just kept chunking it down until you're like, oh, look at all this.
And that's essentially the program.
That's awesome. You ready to do it?
You got the fourth pillar? You ready? You ready to
bring? Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
We are back in the hizzy, in the Boo! His house. Oh,
I can't do that over the air. I was about to say, the never mind.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm not Snoop Dogg anyway. It doesn't sound right.
No way. This is the fourth time around the track here.
It's fourth quarter, people.
You know, fourth quarter, bringing in the fours. You know what I'm saying? Talking about businesses in the new year.
Speaking of fours,
we're talking about. I mean, so
what's your fourth pillar?
We talked about the first three pillars. So what's the fourth one?
So the fourth one is what I like to call my thumbprint.
So, okay.
In the program, I talk about how, you know, you can have systems in place, but that's not going to differentiate you between other competitors that are doing the exact same service as you. So in every business, you need to have a thumbprint, and that has a lot of different aspects to it. For example, your branding is like the personality of your business. It doesn't necessarily mean that's your personality. It's the personality of the business that aligns with your targets. Just want to be clear about that. But so the fourth pillar is all the systems that I have personally created that I think would be really helpful. Honestly, it's the stuff I wish I had when I had first gotten started. For example, one of them would be the vision matrix. So this is a way for you to really define the vision of why you're doing what you're doing, why you even wanted to start a business in the first place. it transcends into a very similar table that looks about the same, but it's like, okay, you have one for personal and you have one for business, but we do the personal first for obvious reasons. And usually with my students that we do this, you know, I have subcategories in these four quadrants, and I give them maybe like 15 minutes on the initial call of, you know, just think about where you are now in these subcategories and where you want to go. And what I have found is they start writing and it ends up being huge. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them to articulate their thoughts, and it's because we aren't used to sitting down and thinking about these things. But what you start noticing, and this is why it's a hybrid program right now where we actually assign them a coach who goes in, and they're trained in my principles, they're trained on how to do this. They start noticing patterns of the things that they're listing out. They start noticing limiting beliefs. They start noticing, you know, irrelevancies. And so they take that vision matrix and then they basically simplify it. They make it even easier to understand, very articulate. That becomes the goals. And that's the starting point of them working on their business and going through all the rest of the program. But at least like now they have a target in each category of their life. And if you actually look at it, you see how it overlaps. And you see how each quadrant actually helps the other quadrants.
Yeah, that's what I wish I had something like this when I attempted all those many times, sadly, trying to do a business. Because, yeah, to your point, like so many things overlap. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what to focus on. You try to
a mess.
You try to do, like I literally at one point was paying a lawyer like $1,200 a month for a trust for my business to protect everything when I wasn't making any money in my business yet anyway.
Yeah.
And you don't really need to do that until you actually have some assets. And so it was like not knowing the direction to go or what to put first. And you will tend to make these mistakes where you just blow money on something that, yeah, is a good idea probably 10 years down the road. Right. But right now, no.
A lot of times in the beginning, it feels like you're in business when you're spending money. But you're really,
is my credit card maxed out? I'm doing business.
But you're in business when you're making money.
Yeah.
And in theory, making more than you're spending. I mean, a lot of it takes some things to get going. But at the same time, it can feel real good to be buying this and spending that and, you know, doing all this other kind of stuff, trying to get it big and perfect and right. And it feels like you're in business, but you're not in business.
It doesn't matter how much you make. It matters how much you keep.
Exactly. Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, the whole idea of, yeah, I'm going to spend money on all this other kind of stuff. It, you know, and I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong anyway, but my son reached out a week or two ago. He and one of his friends or a couple of his friends want to start a podcast. And he was asking kind of, okay, Dad, how do I do that? And I gave him kind of some big picture stuff. And then when it boiled down to it, you know, I told him, you know what? Nothing can substitute just getting started, just doing something. You can sit around and you can plan all this and you can try to get the perfect tagline and the perfect logo and the perfect all this kind of stuff. I just told him, grab a laptop, go hit record or a cell phone and just start talking. And, you know, just come up with topics and all that kind of stuff. Just start talking. And if nothing else, you get some content in the can for later on for editing and all that kind of stuff. But nothing can substitute just getting started, right?
Yeah, or being flexible too. Like you get started and then allow the whatever it is to grow.
Right.
I think sometimes we get so fixated on this is what I'm doing and this is what it's supposed to look like, and you don't allow it to kind of grow and morph into what it needs to be.
Every podcaster wants to be like Joe Rogan coming out of the gate.
Yeah, or, well, Joe Rogan wasn't even Joe Rogan in the beginning.
Exactly. Or, you know, every guy with opinions about men and women want to be Kevin Samuels coming out of the gate. And if you go and look back,
you go look at his first videos. Stuff, I don't feel bad about our first videos no more after I saw his.
And that's the cool part is we can, even now, even with us, we can scroll back and
Don't go back too far.
It's brutal. Exactly.
Woo.
I mean, it's nothing can substitute just getting started and giving it time to incubate and grow and to morph into what it's going to be.
Well, yes, I think you gave him great advice, especially for people who aren't used to taking action, just encouraging them to just get started because they'll make mistakes, right? They'll learn from that. Now, maybe this is my bachelor's degree that's kicking in right now, but having a plan because people skip that. I can't tell you how many business owners I've come across who've been in business like 5 to 6 years and do not have a business plan. And what people don't realize is the plan forces you to actually decide, again, why you're doing what you're doing, who's the target market, what are their pain points, what are their desires, how do you speak to them? So when he makes a podcast, right, like who's this podcast for? And, you know, are you speaking their language? So when he's trying to get people to join the podcast, right, instead of what one of my one of my bosses, the big net strategy is what he told me.
Cast a big net.
I asked him, I was like, you know, I've been through business school and my own business, and I've never heard of the big net strategy. Can you please explain what that is to me? And he said, well, basically anyone and everyone. Yeah. And I can tell you through all of my experience, that does not work. Like, don't even humor it.
So put the net away is what she's saying.
Yeah.
You have to distinguish who it is that you want to help. And right. So just using this as an example, when I have students come in, they're like, okay, I want to start a business. Okay, what do you want to do? And let's just use a quick example. Let's say they want to start a dog walking business. Okay, what type of people would appreciate a dog walking service? That's where we need to start. And so sometimes people will come in, they're like, I don't know who I want to help. I don't know who my target market is. And I tell them, tell me what emotionally triggers you to want to help someone. Like, who do you want to help? And that's where you can look in their personal life and like things that are emotionally triggering for them, where they're like, well, I really want to help, you know, single moms get back on their feet, or I really want to help a busy professional who has pets and support them in that way. So if you kind of reverse engineer it, so if you start with, well, who do I want to support? Who do I want to give them like the desire or whatever they're looking for? And then, like I said, the business plan then starts putting these things in place where you're doing the research, you're figuring out how to market to them, how to position your product, how to ultimately, if you have a business plan, you can get funding. A bank or an investor is going to be more keen on giving you money if you actually know what you're going to do with that money and how you're going to make a profit. So I cannot tell you how many people have come to me and with a great idea, fantastic idea. But as soon as I ask them, well, do you have a business plan put in place for this idea? Well, no, but we've already gotten started. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a part of anything that doesn't have a plan. Like, absolutely not. I've actually broken off friendships because they were personally offended that I didn't want to be part of their idea. Like, no investor is going to want to put their money towards any idea that does not have structure.
Yeah. Sounds like you got to be really on point to be Jessica's friend.
Well, one of the things you just said was something I told him, which was don't try to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
Him and his buddies are all in different branches of the military, but they're all medics. I'm like, well, duh.
Medics.
Everybody that does anything medical in the military. And, you know, you can speak to each branch. You can speak to the job. You got all kinds of topics on all that kind of stuff. But don't try to be, you know, too much or be everything to everybody, because – you know, when you're too much to too many people, it's hard to target them. It's hard to market them. It's hard to reach that specific group of people.
Yeah, and speaking of being everything to everybody, Jessica, how can people find you? How can they join your group? Like you said that your program is in beta testing. So, like, people can jump in now before it becomes, like, this big thing that they can't afford in the future. Like, how can people find you and find out about your program and maybe hire you someday?
The easiest way to be connected is denvergreatminds.com.
Oh, we didn't even mention this. Okay, people. She does the best non-networking business group in Denver. And that's probably how we met, but it is one of the best things that she does, and I love it. And if you're in Denver area and you like to do networking, or you would just like to meet cool people, join Denver Great Minds. Sorry I interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, so Denver Great Minds was really interesting. So I have a career in event management. And basically, I hated the options for networking. I just thought it was irrelevant, expensive. I mean, really, at least for me, I was just showing up and having cocktails and not really feeling like I was making good connections. And it was annoying to me. And so I decided, you know, I threw some ideas together of what would make a really awesome networking event. And then I paired it with my birthday just to, like, experiment with this idea. And everyone loved it. Like, ranting, raving, we had a great time. And everyone was asking me, you know, when's the next one? So I thought, well, I'll just host one a month and for like an entire year and see what happens. And we are now going into our sixth year.
So it's successful is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's working.
The pandemic shutdown actually just skyrocketed our membership because everyone was looking for deeper connections. And especially people who don't know how to have deeper connections professionally. Mm. So we basically got all these ambitious people, not necessarily business owners, but we tend to attract a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, community leaders, people who are trying to build and do things. We got them all into one room and we basically threw a party. And
I like parties.
We decided to cut all the rules of networking groups. So like there's no paid membership that you have to have. There's no required referrals. You don't even have to have a certain amount of attendance. Mm-hmm. Basically, you can just show up to whichever event works with your schedule. And for business owners, that's huge. Because they don't have a social life. Right. They don't have time for that.
No open schedule. So yeah. Is it DenverGreatMinds.com or?
DenverGreatMinds.com. Yep.
I'm going to put that in the comments because all y'all need to join and you need to contact my girl Jessica because she's going to save you thousands of dollars and years of time and insanity in your life as you're trying to start your business.
Boom. Thank you so much, Jessica.
Thank you for coming. We're going to have you back because we barely scratched the surface of all the cool stuff you do.
For real, for real. We need to make sure we get you back in here.
You sure you don't want to give me your phone number?
I'm that's kidding. Not
that's,
happening.
That's an inside joke. That's an inside joke. Inside
yeah,
joke.
That goes back a show or two. That's
joke. So anyway, Mad Men and Masculinity right here on KLDC. We love y'all, and we'll see you next time.
Mad Men out.